Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Vava Metzia Mem Zayin. We are holding on Mem Vava Met Beis at the very last line. Amar Rabbo, Amar Rav Huna. So he quotes Rav Huna that if a fellow says Mecher Li Be'elu, okay, so Reuven has in his hands a pack of money. He approaches his friend Shimon, please sell me this item here for this money. Shimon failed to ask him how much money there is. So he's just taking it, you know, blindly. Kana. So in this case, as soon as Shimon picks up the money, Reuven has now acquired that item. Unlike your standard Kinyan Kesef, in which case when you pay for an item with money, with a defined amount of money, by acquiring the money, you don't the customer doesn't automatically assume ownership of the item. You need to have Meshicha, an actual physical Kinyan on the item. But here it's different. You know why? Because Shimon failed to even ask, how much money do you have for me? He just took the pack of money blindly. Now it's viewed like he just made a switch, a swap, an exchange. Pack of money for a donkey. So by doing so, it's closer to Kinyan Chalipin. It's treated like a Kinyan Chalipin, in which case two people are switching, swapping, exchanging an item. And as soon as one of them just makes a Kinyan on his item that he, you know, the item that he's acquiring, automatically the other item reverts to the other person's ownership. So it's an instant switch. And that's what happens here. It makes an instant switch. But v'yesh lo yolavei no, but you should know that if the buyer is underpaying significantly, the din of a na'a, which pertains to cheating while buying and selling, applies here as well. Despite the fact that he didn't confirm or verify how much money there is. And the more will explain. So we say it's a Kinyan Chalipin, but it has an element of an ordinary, of a standard Kinyan Kesef, in which case you have to be supplying value. And the more explains, Kana. So why do we say that, you know, what do we mean when we say Kana? Afagav le mashach means that even though the buyer had not yet physically acquired the item that he's buying, still, since the seller took the money into his possession, it works. It makes an instant switch and the buyer now owns the item. The kivin lo kapit, since he never asked, he never was particular about the amount. So we say, Kana, the Kinyan is automatic, even before an actual physical Kinyan Meshicha is applied to the item, the Ki Chalipin Dami, because we look at this transaction like a Chalipin transaction, which works instantly. As soon as one fellow picks up, you know, the item that he is getting, automatically the other item given in exchange reverts the other person's ownership as an instant switch. On the one hand, right, we treat it like Chalipin. On the other hand, you have to be paying value. The key, V'yesh lo elav ayno, he does have an ayno, a claim, if he wasn't really paid proper value. The mecher li be'elu ka'amar li. Because, you know, although, on the one hand, we treat it like Chalipin, which typically doesn't really have value for value. Just switching items, it doesn't necessarily have to match in value. But here, he said mecher li be'elu. Sell me the item with this pack of money. He used a lashon of mechira. Rashi says lashon memkar, but not lashon chalipin. He didn't use chalipin. He used sell. I want a valid, a legal sale, which includes the ayna guarantee. So that's one version of Rav Huna. Rav Abba quotes Rav Huna. Amar Rav Huna, mechir le'elu. Sell me the item with this pack of money without, you know, stipulating how much. He takes it a step further. We treat it like a Chalipin entirely. So by taking the money, instantly his item gets switched over to the other person, and on top of that, there's no inu'a claim. We treat it like a regular chalipin. And it doesn't have to have equal value. Continues the Gemara. Pshita. So the following case is clear, the one we just spoke about. Domin bein makvad aleihem. If you used money without, you know, confirming the amount, hakam rina. We just said the kani kechalipin domu. As soon as the seller gets a hold of that money, instantly his item gets switched over to the other person because we treat it like a chalipin. What about if it's the other way around? Chalipin. Suppose there was no money involved. Rather, they were exchanging two items. A real chalipin. But, in contrast to your standard chalipin, where perhaps people aren't so particular about value and matching up the value, you know, the value of the items, here he was very umakbid aleihem. They were makbid that the items, you know, given in exchange for each other, should match in value, should be of equal value, which is not your typical chalipin procedure. My, what is the halacha here? Do we treat it like a chalipin, in which case the meshicha of any item by its recipient automatically, instantly switches the, makes the switch, or do we say no, since he was makbid, which is an element, which is a feature typically found in standard kinyan kesef, so perhaps this transaction too, right, is viewed like a regular kinyan kesef, in which case money, receiving the money on its own will not make the kinyan until you do meshich on the item that you're buying. My, what is the aloch? Amar Rav Ada bar Abba Tashma will bring a raya. Hurry, show your tevis parosei v'ayimim. This fellow is walking along the market with his cow. B'chaver and Shimon approaches. V'amar and asks him, paros chalama, why'd you bring your animal to the marketplace? Well, he says, l'chamar nitzarech. Reuben says, look, I happen to need a donkey. Oh, Shimon says, Hashkocha Prot is amazing. Yesh lechamar shanesh lecha. I have a perfect donkey for you. Okay, parascha b'kama. How much would you like, you know, to receive for your cow? B'kach b'kach. Reuben says $100. Chamarcha b'kama. Reuben asks Shimon, how much do you want to, you know, charge for your? How much do you expect to get for your donkey? B'kach 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 b'kach. Shimon says $100. Perfect. What a coincidence. Mashach. Bala chamar sapara. So now Shimon, who was the chamar owner, grabs hold of the cow. He does a meshicha. Before Reuben, the cow owner, got a chance to take possession of the chamar, the chamar died. Deal's over. Shimon does not assume rights, does not get ownership of the para. What do you mean? It was chalipin. Chalipin makes an instant switch. As soon as Shimon grabbed hold of that para, deal's over. He gets the parah and the chamor, wherever it is now Reuben's. The answer is, here it was different because they were careful to perfectly evaluate and appraise and to match up the value of their items. Shmamino chalipin makbid aleihem, a chalipin, where the parties are particular about value and switching up things of equal value, loikana, there's no kinyan chalipin, we treat it like a regular kinyan kesef, in which case you have to be meishach, you have to physically acquire the item that you're buying. I'm a Rava, what do you mean? Atu Chalipin, your typical Chalipin. Whenever we speak about Chalipin, you think people are just doing it blindly? Taking heed, focusing on value is not a present element, is not a constant element. Atu Chalipin b'shuf taniyaskinim, every Chalipin transaction where people are switching items, you think it was silly people? Like, Kapti, they're not focused on value? What do you mean? Elo kol Chalipin mikpad Kapti. The truth is, every Chalipin, in every case, people are makbid on value. Vikana. And still, it makes a proper chalipin. So why would it be different in the case of the cow with the donkey? V'achamai skin was speaking that he did an incomplete kinyan. Simple as that. The amale, because what happened was, Shimon offered Reuben a chamar, b'par v'tela. He says, look, my chamar is heaven. You gotta pay well. Give me a par and a tela. A cow and a sheep. And Shimon did Meshicha on the Parah, but not on the Tla. So he never completed the transaction. It wasn't a complete Meshicha. That's why it doesn't work. But otherwise, if it would have been an item for an item, even if it was Hakpada, there was particularity regarding value. It's a standard Chalipin, which makes an instant switch. So bottom line is like this. if you handed a pack of money without counting it, without presenting the exact amount, he just used money sort of as an approximate way, an approximate value, and he used it to buy something. We treat it like an item. In which case, as soon as the buyer picks up that pack of money, his item automatically, instantly transfers to the buyer. Do we apply a na'ah in this case? A machlekes. And the Gemara did want to say that it works the other way around too. If you actually swap items, but you are makbid about value, we treat it like a kinyan kesef. And Rabbi disagreed. Amar, let's go back to the case that we just mentioned. Mechor li be'elu kana v'esh lo v'na'ah. Here, sell me your item with this pack of money. Right? So it's a kinyan, like a chalipin, and it has a no. The question is like this. Chalipin with money? Le'ema kasava rav, huna matbe, nas chalipin, who know that you can make chalipin with a matbe, which is a huge controversy. Lo'i, says the Gemara, huna kasava l'krab yechnan. The reason why it works is because we're not speaking about chalipin. No. We're speaking about a kinyan domim, kinyan kesef. He's paying. The money that he's giving is being offered as payment for the item that he's buying. Now we're going with Rav Yechanan. Rav Huna Savel Rav Yechanan. What does Rav Yechanan say? Damar, he told us Dvar Torah, you should know that Minat Torah Mois Koines. Minat Torah, by paying with money for an item, that gets you the item. You don't need any further Mashiach. Umi Pei Ma, Omru Mashiach Koines. Why did the Chacham require Mashiach on top of payment? Gzera, right? We discussed this the other day. Gzera shema yomru, shema yomru loy, to protect the interests of the buyer, so that the seller should not be inclined to forsake the buyer's merchandise, which is still sitting in the seller's storehouse. Shema yomru loy is a concern that the seller might tell the buyer, "Nisavu chitecha ba'aleh, look, your grain burnt down up in my attic." So to avoid that, we say, look, until Mashiach was done, it's not a done deal, and this way the buyer has an invested interest in protecting it because he can still change his mind if it goes up in price, etc., etc. So that's the takana, why Mashiach is required. But Milsa de Shchicha, Gazru Barabon. Rabbanon only apply the Xeris on typical standard cases. Irregular, purchase. But here it's such an unusual case. Who offers packs of money without, right? Umilsa de Shchicha, like Gazru Barabon, Rabbanon did not make Xeris, in which case we say, Kin and Kesef, payment is sufficient to complete the deal. Amalei mar huna breda Rav Nachman Rav Ashi. He told Rav Ashi, Atun you, hachim mas nisun lo. You had this whole back and forth regarding Rav Huna's opinion. Do we say matbein as a chalipun or not? And you had this whole issue. Anan, by us it was very clear. Hachi mas nisun lo. We had the following girsa. V'chein amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna likewise says, like Rabbi Yechanan, like the other shittas, I'm sorry. Ein matbein as a chalipun. You cannot use matbeh for chalipin. So it's pretty clear cut that, he's of the opinion you cannot use matbeh for chalipin. So apparently, the reason why in this case, when he's paying with a pack of money, you don't need to do mashicha is as per the reason we just mentioned. Now, in chalipin, there are sort of two methods. You can swap an item for an item, a car for a car, animal for an animal, right? Which sort of have, close to equal value. Or you can just use kinyan sudar, which is typically done at a wedding, right? The Masara Kedushin gives the Chassan a Parker pen, and by picking up that pen, the Chassan is now committing himself to all marital commitments that are stipulated in the Ksuba, right? So here it's not equal for equal, it's just a sort of symbolic gesture. He's giving him an item in exchange. In exchange, he is committing and his, right? You can do that for purchasing fields, etc. So whose item do we use? Mamek Koinen. Whose item do we use to trigger this exchange, to trigger this kinyan chalipin? Rav Amar Bekelev Shel Koine. The buyer offers his thing to the seller, and upon receiving the item from the buyer, the seller is now giving away his karka or his whatever. The Nichalei LeKoine, why does it work this way? Because the buyer is pleased to lihavi makne koine, the makne, the one giving him the field, should take the buyer's item for the time being, so that the buyer will offer his item in exchange. Levi maintains that the makna, the one giving the item, is the one offering the one giving the field, or the, in case of the chassan, the, you know, the chassan himself was committing, he's the one that actually hands his item, his pen, his scarf. So there's like a scarf, like a, he gives it to the recipient. How does that method work? As we're going to explain soon. Okay? Amalei Rav Huna Midiskarta, that was his name, Rav. He asked the question of Rav. Ulevi Da'on B'Kelev Shal Makne. According to Levi, the Makne, the one giving away the field or whatever, he's the one that uses his Sudar to make the Kinyan. Hakakani Ara Avagav Glima. So we figure at this point, how's it working? It's like a package deal. By giving the away his pen, together with that pen, he gives the field. So karka agav glima, it's the pen with the kerchief. Imkain, if that's the case, that the meshicha of the sudar, right, by the recipient taking the sudar, he's getting the field with it. Imkain havulei nechasim. So we're going to be faced with a situation where you have nechasim assets sheish lan achrayis, which are considered safe and secure, i.e., real estate, which is now being given to the purchaser. How is it coming to him? It's coming along with the kerchief. That's typically an object that's called because you can just take it wherever you want. It's not safe and secure, right? So basically, you're bundling together field with a kerchief, and the kinyan on the kerchief, by being meshich the kerchief, you're getting the field. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. If anything, the other way around. V'anan ifchatnan. In our Mishnah back in Kedushin, we learned that it goes the other way around. Nechasim she'ein lahem nachrayis. Niknin nechasim she'yesh la nachrayis. Right? You can do it the other way around. You can take a parka pen and get it together with a field by making a kinyan on the field. Right? Let's say you want to buy a house with a car. You can make a kinyan on the house. By doing so, you can get the car with it. That's the way it works. We have psukim for that. Right? We learn it from, you know, we have sources, but not the other way around. You can't make a kinyan on the car and have the house come along with it. You can't make a kinyan on the sudar and have the karka come along with it. Amar Lei, so he responded, how can you suggest that Levi made such a blatant mistake in understanding the procedure of a sudar? Yihava Levi hacha. If Levi would be standing here, have a mapik lapach, he would strike at your face, pull sidinura, bring the fire with, you know, flames of fire. And Rashi says it means he would have put him into chayrim. How could you suggest that he, me sabras glima maknale? Do you think that we're using kinyan agav? That through the buyer making meshicha on the glima, on the garment, on the kerchief, whatever, because of that he's getting the karka as a bundle, as a package? No. It's a totally different system. It's kinyan sudar, not kinyan agav. The way it works is like this. Reuben is selling his field to Shimon. How does he sell it to him? By giving him a parka pen, by giving him a sudar. And he feels good. Look, Shimon is accepting my sudar, accepting my kerchief. That gives him satisfaction that he's cooperating. So that is something that now Shimon is giving to Reuben, that satisfaction. So in exchange for that satisfaction, he's giving him the karka. Reuben gives him the karka. Now Shimon is kind. That's the way sudar works. Kitanoi, actually this discussion of whose item is meant to be used to trigger the chalipin, or trigger the kinyan sudar, more accurately, is machlekes tanoi, kedesan, ketanoi. And it's based on how to understand the pasuk in Rus, where we have this idea of kinyan chalipin between boyas who purchased a field from this fellow called a goyel, this other relative. And he employed this kinyan sudar by handing him the shoe, right? So who handed the shoe to whom? The buyer to the seller? Or sell it to the buyer. That's the machlekes. V'zoyis lefanu b'Yisrael. This is the old tradition in our nation. Ala gula v'la tmura. L'kayim kol davar. Sholaf ish nala. Right? He removed his shoe. V'nasman reyu gave it to the other fellow. And the Gemara explains. Gula, what is that gula? Zu mechir. It's a sale. V'chinu ayma. L'yigoyel. L'yigoyel is referring to a sale. Tmura, what is that? Zu chalipin. So a sale means an actual, you know, standard type of sale where you pay for the item. And l'yigoyel is going on. Tmura is going on in exchange. I.e. kinyan chalipin. So chalipin chenu oimer, as we find elsewhere, that this type of phrase refers to flipping, to exchanging things. Lo yachlifenu v'lo yomer oisei. The words l'kaim kol davar, sholav ishnal v'nasnu re'eyu, is describing the Chalipin procedure. Question, who gave to whom? Me, Nasan, me. Bayas was the buyer, Nasan, the Goyal gave it to the Goyal. So we use the Kli of the Kaina. Rabbi Daimer, no, Goyal, Nasan, Labayas. The Goyal, the seller, gave it to Bayas. Use the Kli of the Makne. So we have a straight out Machlekes, how it works. Tanav Lentan Abrais, Koinen Bekli, Avo Bishem Bashar Prutta. We can use a Kli for Chalipin, right, to trigger the exchange, even though it's worth less than a Prutta, but it's a Kli, it has Chashivas, it's enough. Omar of Nachman. That's only true Ela Bekli. If it's a Kli, that could trigger Chalipin. Avo Peri Loib, you can't use anything other than a Kli. Because the Pasuk speaks about Ashu, right? Rav Sheshes Sama Afilu Peris. You can even use Peris. My time of why? My time of the Rav Nachman, right, who says only a Kli. Amakro, the Pasuk tells you, Nalei, only a shoe. Nalei in Midach, only a shoe or an item that's a utensil. That's a Kli, but nothing else. My time of the Rav Sheshes, who says anything is okay. Amakro, the Kaim Kladavar. That Lashon Pasuk includes all types of items. Rav Nachman Nami, Oksiv, the Kaim Kladavar. What does Rachman do with that part of the Pasuk? Oh, the Kaim Kladavar, to tell you, the Nikon Biminal. He holds that it's referring to these procedures, right? Geula and Tmura can work with a minel. So whether we're using Kinyan Sudar, which as we explained before is an unequal swap, or we're using Kinyan Chalipin, which is an equal swap. Either way, you can use a shoe, it can work. Rav Sheshes Nami Aksiv Na'alei. Rav Sheshes says that you can use pretty much any item. Why does the Pasuk single out a shoe? I'm Rav Sheshes to tell you that it has to compare somewhat to a shoe. Ma Na'alei Dover Masuyim. Just like the shoe mentioned in the Pasuk denotes something with inherent, you know, it's a complete item, right? I've called Avram Suim. Likewise, any other item that you want to use has to have that completeness to it, as opposed to half a fruit, a full fruit, yeah, but not a half a fruit. La fuke chatzi rimon chatzi egez lo, you half a pomegranate, half a nut, that can't be used. So bottom line, all agree you can use a kli even though it's worth very little. Some say you can use anything as long as it's Avram Suim. Amrav Sheshes Bray Darbiti. In our, Chalipin documents, a document used to record a Kinyan Chalipin, we write the following. Look, there was a Kinyan that took place over here, b'mana, using a kli, the kasher, which is suitable, b'knaya bay, to do with it a Kinyan Chalipin. What's the point of elaborating? What are they referring to? Let's break it down word by word. B'mana means lafukim nerv sheshes. You need to use a kli as opposed to nerv sheshes, who says otherwise. D'amar kainim b'peiris. No, we need a kli. The word the kasha, what is that coming to denote? Lafukim d'shmol as opposed to shmol. D'amar kainim b'meraika. You can use even a kli, Rashi says, ha'osim y'gloli bokar from animal waste. No, it's not a suitable kli, not chashav enough to be used. The word lemeknai, what is that? Lafukim de Levi. Oh, Levi was the one who said the Amar Bekelev Shel Makna. The one giving the property uses his kli, hands his kli to the lekech. No, lemeknai tells you otherwise. Kamashman lemeknai veleknuye. No, it's the buyer, it's the receiver that gives the kli, not the one who's giving the item. The word bay, what is that for? A papa Amar lemutimat bay. You can use a coin for Chalipin, as we explained the other day. Rav Zvida, Vitem Rav Ashi, Amar is a different shot in Bay. Lamuti Yisrael, no, you can't use an item which is usher to be used, to be benefited from. Ikadam, there's another version, a slightly different version, that the word Bay is for the following. Amar Papa, Lamuti Matbeya, you can't use a coin. The word the kasher is coming from Rav Zvida, Vitem Rav Ashi, Lamuti Yisrael, no. So we covered everything. Aval Merika La Yisrael. We don't even need a pasuk for the kli made of animal waste that's so insignificant and so, valueless. Of course, you can't use it. Now, back to the Mishnah, which told us that Asimoin Koines HaMatbeah. If you're paying for a matbeah, for a coin, using an Asimoin, which is, we're going to see in a minute, is not really a legal coin. That is considered, the asimut is considered the object, the merchandise, not considered payment. The matbea is considered the payment for the asimut, because that's currency, and the asimut is the commodity. So what is the asimut? My asimut, amarav mois hanetonis besimut besamerchats. Asimut is lashon simut. It's like a token. So you walk into the bathhouse, you give this token to the bathhouse attendant, so he knows how many people are attending today, how much water he needs to cook up, how many towels he needs to prepare. Meis, here comes a kasha. How can you say that asimun is this bathhouse token? Ein machal in masa sheni al asimun. You cannot transfer the kedusha of masa sheni onto asimun because you need actual money for that. That's the first thing. And what else can you not use for chil masa sheni v'loi al nois hanitonis b'simun v'samerchetz? Can't use that type of token either. So apparently asimun is referring to a different type of item. Mechlad asimun lav mois hanitonis b'simun v'samerchetz. Perhaps we'll say Pirushikam Afarish. That yeah, it is the same thing. The Bryce is just explaining itself. You can't use an asimun. What is an asimun? Bathhouse token. No, that's incorrect. Well, in the next Bryce, we don't have it this way. Mechal Masashena Asimun. Divir Abdai. So Abdai says you can use asimun for Chil Masasheni. That's his opinion. Because apparently he considers it to be, you know, it's, we'll see in a minute. Okay, it's on its way to being minted. It's close enough to be considered a coin. No, you cannot use it for Master Sheni. Ein Mechalan. But Vishav and all agree that the bathhouse token is invalid for Master Sheni. Shein Mechalan al Mois Hanetonois B'Siman B'Samerchat. So clearly, an Asimun is a different entity. It's not one and the same thing. You see, you cannot use the bathhouse token according to all Shittas, but Asimun, according to Rav Dosi, you could use for Master Sheni. Apparently, it's a totally different entity. Elam Rabbi Yechonon says, Rabbi Yechonon, you're right. My asimun pulsa. Asimun is an unminted slug. It's on its way to being minted. And that explains why Rav Dosi considers it close enough to currency and kosher for Master Sheni use. V'oz the Rav Yechonon tamei, and this interpretation of Rav Yechonon, that what? That asimun is on its way to being minted. And that explains why Rav Dosi allowed it for Master Sheni. He's going with his opinion. The Omar Rabbi Yechon, Rechon himself tells us that Rav Dosi, this opinion of Rav Dosi, corresponds with another sheet. Rabbi Shmuel, Omar Rabbi Yechon, they're both on the same track. Where do we find Rabbi Shmuel? So Rav Dosi had Amar, as we just said, you can be Mechal, Master Sheni, and Asimun. What about Rabbi Shmuel? Where is that? The Sanya Betzata Kasvi Yadecha. Take the money used for Master Sheni, take it and bring it to Yerushalayim. The Rabbi is called Dovar. Hanitzra b'yad. V'tzarta means any type of money or semi-money which you're going to be holding, you know, you can wrap in your hands, it's kosher from Maaseh Sheni. Even this type of unminted money, because it's close enough, it's on the verge of being considered money. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel is Rabbi Shmuel Shita, and that corresponds with Rabbi Dosi, who considers it to be valid from Maaseh Sheni. No, Rabbi Akiva Omer, l'Rabbi is called Dovah Sheishal v'tzura, just the opposite. V'tzarta needs to have a form. It needs to be minted money. Otherwise, it's no good for Master Sheni. Keitzad, Moshe Chaymenu Peres, V'lenos Lemois, Eino Yachal Achlasaboy. So, you purchased Peres by paying money. Right? So, that's not sufficient to complete the deal. But, if he did Mashiach on the Peres, even before accepting payment, the deal is over. So Mashiach is what triggers a deal. The more we'll explain why. We already had some insight into this sugya a couple of days ago. And again, today earlier, with the fire, etc. So here comes the actual sugya. Omer b'yechnon, you should know that min ha-Torah, based on, you know, just the psukim, dvar Torah, mo'is koinis. By simply paying for an item, that gives you the item. Without any further ado. But midrabbanon, more is needed. Umipneima omru, Mashiach koine. Why do Chacham insist that you do Mashiach, you physically acquire the item before you actually are considered the owner? This was meant to protect the interests of the buyer. Gzeira, Shema Yer Meloi, because otherwise, if you just pay for the item before doing anything else, the item presumably is still sitting in the seller's, you know, cellar or attic. And the seller might tell the buyer, look, a fire broke out and your stuff's gone. Look, I'm sorry, your wheat got burned up in my attic. Sorry, nothing I can do. But now that we say, deal is not done until the buyer took the item out of the owner's possession. So until that happens, it's still somewhat in the owner's purview, meaning he can change his mind if he sees the price goes up. So he has an interest in protecting that property. He has an interest in safeguarding that wheat. So he'll protect it from fire. Ask the Gemara, one second, what's the issue? It's going to get burned? Save. At the end of the day, who's going to pay for it? Whoever lights the fire, he's got to pay. I mean, somebody's going to compensate for this loss. Oh, we're concerned that perhaps there'll be an accidental fire. So now, if we consider the wheat still in possession of the seller, he'll go all out to save the items. But otherwise, if it's a done deal and belongs to the buyer all the way, he's not going to go all out to make that extra effort to save it. So according to Rav Yechanan, min haTorah, payment is sufficient. Rabbanon, we require Meshicha to complete the deal. Rish Lakish disagrees. Rish Lakish Amar, Meshicha mafreshes min haTorah. Min haTorah, Meshicha is required to complete the deal. Until you have physical possession of the item, it's not yours. My time with Rish Lakish, why? Amar Kro, we have a pasuk. V'chesim kerumim kol hamitecha. Oikonim yad misecha. Right? When you sell something, you buy miyada misecha from the hand of the seller. Apparently hands are involved. You need physical possession to make it yours. It has to go from one hand to the other. Which means Meshicha. And only that completes the deal. Rabbi Yechanan, he responds, Amar, he says, miyad, the word miyad, lemute karka. The less ve'ayna. So it's simply coming to tell you that the halacha ve'ayna of overpaying or underpaying, which triggers the whole Einah process. Some cases you can actually cancel the deal. So all this only applies to merchandise, not to real estate, not to karka. And that's learned from the word miyad, things which switch hands, but not actual real estate. Vireish Lakish, he responds, well, imkain, if that was the only reason for the pasuk here, for the lichtev krovachi simkuru mimkar, I'll tell you, the pasuk would say like this. If the whole purpose was to teach you that Einah does not apply to karka, it would say, well, when you sell something, miyada mitecha, something which exchanges hands, I'll tell you, don't overcharge, don't undercharge. Oikanoi, lamali. Why does the pasuk add the word oikanoi, indicating that you buy through exchanging hands, that you need meshicha, physical possession, to be kaina? Lamali, what's the point of that expression in the pasuk? Shema, I mean, not to teach you the meshicha, that in fact meshicha is a deal closer. For Rabbi Yechon, he responds, well, Aykana, my Yavadle, what does it do with Aykana? Mibarele, look at the sign, yes, needed for another halacha. Yechisim kerumim kar, I'll tell you, when you sell, don't overcharge. Ain li elshin is analekeach. That's when the buyer was unfairly treated, he was overcharged. Nisano mechem minayin, what about if the buyer unfairly deals with the seller, I mean, he underpays? Even the buyer, beware, don't do Aino. So that explains why the pasuk adds the words Aikana. It's not to teach us that you do Meshicha to be kaina. No, it's to teach you that the kaina has to be aware of the of his obligations to the Meicher as well. Rish Lakish, he responds, you can learn both things from the word Aikana. And Rashi explains, the fact that the pasuk mentions Aikana teaches you that the kaina, the buyer beware, don't undercharge. And the fact that it says Aikana near the words miyad tells you that the kinyan takes place through miyad, through physical possession. Okay, so bottom line, Rabbi Yechanan says Kesef makes the kinyan in Torah, and the Rabbanon, we have to add Meshicha to the deal. Rish Lakish says, no, Meshicha is the deal closer min haTorah. Tanan, let's go back to our Mishnah in the beginning of our Perek. Tanakama says, until you actually take physical possession, until you do Meshich on the item, deal's not over. Anybody, the seller, the buyer, can change their minds and cancel the deal. Rabbi Shimon says, no, only the seller has that privilege. It's not Rabbi Shimon, the fellow who already took possession of the money, meaning the seller, he has the upper hand. He can change his mind. He can close, he can renege on the deal. who the matzio the bay, only the meich, the seller, can go back on the deal. But the lekeach, the buyer, to wait for him, loy matzio the bay. And Tanakama disagrees. Both seller and the buyer had the same ability to renege on the deal. Let's try to analyze this machlekes. Let's try to analyze Reb Shimon's shita. Now, if we go with Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, that payment really triggers the kinyan, minat Torah. Mishamachi moichir matziyot arbe. That explains Reb Shimon's opinion. The seller can go back on the deal. Lekeach le matziyot arbe, but not the buyer. Why is that? Because as we explained before, the whole point was to protect the buyer's, you know, merchandise. So by allowing the meicher, the seller, to go back on the deal in case he sees more profit coming, in case he sees, you know, a spike in market value, so he has a vested interest in protecting that property, in protecting that merchandise, because he can, you know, cancel this deal, make more money. So we give him that incentive, and that explains why he has only he and only he has the ability to be chayzer, but not the buyer. Why should we give him that privilege? The seller has the ability and not the buyer. Eli amrus mois einan koines. But according to Reish Lakish, money on its own doesn't affect the deal, doesn't close the deal until you do Meshicha. So prior to Meshicha, it's an open book. Lekeach nami lahadabe. Just as the seller can change his mind, so could the lekeach. Why are we differentiating? Amalch Reish Lakish, he responds like this. You're right. Alibu de Rebbe Shimon lekamin. I never meant to say. My opinion was not reflective of Reb Shimon, you're right. He certainly holds that money closes the deal min HaTorah, and Mashiach is only required min Rabbanon, in which case we only give that privilege to the seller, etc. Kika Amina, my words reflected the Rabbanon Shita. Alibi the Rabbanon, it was in line with the Rabbanon, which is the majority, the consensus, who all that Until you do Meshicha, the deal is not over. Therefore, prior to Meshicha, everybody, buyer and seller, can cancel a deal. So now, Bishlam the Rish Lakish, it's all good to the Rish Lakish. Why there's a Machlaikis in the Mishnah? Machlaikis is revolving around this point. That explains the Machlaikis. Between Reb Shimon, who says, well, Mois is Koinois, Meshicha is only the Rabbanon, and that Chazora privilege is granted only to the seller to protect the buyer's property. The Rabbanon, as opposed to the Rabbanon hold, no. Meshicha is a Torah requirement. Until that happens, the deal's not over. So until that happens, anybody can change their minds. So it's pretty clear why there's a machlekes. Elo Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, Ma'ika ben Shimon le Rabbanon, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says, Mois is kindness min HaTorah. The Rabbanon was the one who added the Meshicha requirement. And again, the point was to give the meicher that incentive to protect the buyer's item by giving him the ability to change his mind and to up the price in case he sees an opportunity. So, yeah, that would explain why Reb Shimon gives the buyer, the seller, the ability to change his mind. But why did the Chachamim disagree on that? Why did they give the buyer rishus to change his mind as well? So what's the machlekes based on? Iki b'nai d'Rav Chisda. It's based on Rav Chisda. How far do we go with allowing this cancellation privilege, with giving this cancellation privilege? Tamar Chizda tells us, "Kederach shetiknu meshicha b'meicher." Just as until you do meshicha, the meicher can change his mind, as we explained before, and this was meant, you know, to give him that incentive to protect the property. Kach tiknu meshicha b'lekuchos. Likewise, the buyer has the same right. And Rashi explains, you know why? Because it's also going to give the seller reason to protect the wheat from fire. Because as soon as the buyer sees fire coming, he'll just say, oh, I'm canceling the deal. It's back yours. And then the meicher is going to suffer that loss. It's going to be his wheat being burned. So by allowing the lekech to, in fact, cancel a deal midway, you know, until Mashiach is done, that adds another layer of incentive to the seller to want to protect this merchandise. So actually, it enhances the whole arrangement. And that's the Tanakhama, the Chachamim's opinion in our Mishnah. Everybody can change their mind. The Meicha and the Lekeach. So bottom line, Reb Shimon, who says only the seller can renege, less later, he doesn't hold it as a Chizder, you know, angle. And only the seller can change his mind if he sees, you know, more profit on the horizon. So that gives him the incentive to protect the property and protect the merchandise. Rabbanon, however, is the Rav Chizda, they hold the Rav Chizda, and just as we give the Meicher Rishus to be Chayzer, likewise the Lekeach. Which again will give an added layer of incentive to the seller to protect the chitim from fire. Okay, bottom line, we have a fellow offering a pack of money, uncounted money. At least the fellow receiving it has no idea how much it is. He didn't ask how much it was, so we treat it like a chalipin, and it affects an instant transfer, meaning as soon as the meicher picks up that pack of money, the item given in exchange is automatically, instantly transferred to the other fellow's ownership. What about ayna'a in this case? Well, since he said the word mecherli, we treat it like a regular transaction, and ayna'a is in place. There's another opinion which disagrees on that. Then we had an interesting shaila. What about swapping items? And they were careful about value. Do we treat it like a regular chalipin, which affects instant change, or do we say it's like a payment? That was another interesting discussion. Regarding kinyan chalipin, kinyan suda, where you take like an item of minimal value and hand it over to trigger a chalipin exchange, who is the one who's giving that item? Whose item is it? The keyach, the moicher, the ben machlekes, based on the psukim, we had a brice about it. What type of item can we use? Some say dafka kli, some say even payers, but it has to be davar nesuyim, a full and complete item. When we exchange money for an asimoin, the asimoin is considered the object. What is the asimoin? Whether it's the unminted coin, whether it's the slug used for the Beis HaMerchatz. And finally, we had this Shas Machlekes regarding what is the true element of Kinyan. Is it the element which triggers Kinyan? Is it the actual payment, or do we need Meshicha as well? Kontra Rabbi Yochanan in the Torah, payment is enough. Meshicha was added in the Rabbanan. Until then, it could be Chazara, according to Rabbanon, both can be Chazer, according to Shimon, only the Meicher, according to Rish Lakish. Mashiach is required in the Torah, it's based on the Pasuk, Ekonim Yadam Yisecha. Until that happens, there's no deal. And that's according to the consensus, the Rabbanon, but Rav Shimon Namashon disagrees. He holds, no, Mois is Kainois, and the point of the Mashiach is only the Rabbanon, and therefore he holds only the Meicher can be Chazer prior to Mashiach. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.